Acts, the sixth chapter, if you'll take your Bibles and be turning there this morning. A couple of things while you're turning there. Let me remind you and encourage you. I won't do this every week, but maybe another week or two. We've started back prayer service on Wednesday nights in the old sanctuary, historic sanctuary, excuse me. And we've had a good group coming both weeks. We've done it. Hope you'll come. And even if you've not been in the practice, we started coming on Wednesday nights. We start at 6, finish right at 7. And I hope you'll come be a part of that prayer time. And we're studying through the book of Psalms. So I hope you'll come and be a part of that. This morning, I've got one more message on that series of faith. I will do it next week. But this morning, I wanted to take the opportunity to preach on the topic that's kind of the focus of what we're doing this morning in the worship service. You as a church have selected some new gentlemen who are going to serve you as deacons in the coming years. We're going to ordain them at the conclusion of the service this morning. They have been up a long time already because they had an ordaining council at 7:30 this morning. So they've been here a long time today. But as we were talking about the service, we knew we were going to show their testimonies. We're going to do the ordination service at the end. But I thought it'd be a great opportunity to speak to you and preach to you on the church on the topic of the New Testament deacon. And folks, here's the reason. And I hope you'll hear me in the right spirit. I hope you'll listen very attentively this morning. Over these 40 plus years of ministry, pastoring a number of churches full time, probably have had the privilege of preaching and speaking and ministering to a couple of hundred different Baptist churches over the years. You know, it's been interesting that when churches got this thing called deacons right, God was blessing and using the church in a real powerful way. But when they did not get this matter of deacons and the place of deacons in the church right, oftentimes that church was not what it needed to be for God's glory and honor, and the church was not what God wanted it to be. And I've realized early on in ministry that one of the most important things that a church must do is make sure that those who serve as deacons in their church both understand the responsibility, the privilege, but properly understand what deacons do and what deacons are not to be doing. So as your interim, and one of my responsibilities, I believe, is to help prepare you for your next pastor. So I want to try to do that with this message this morning. And again, I pray you'll receive it prayerfully, and you might have to go home and chew on some of it. I don't know. We'll see. Let me ask you, let's start this way. When I say deacons, what do you think of? What do you think of? And I don't want you to answer me out loud right now, but I will tell you what I thought of. In fact, I did this a couple of months ago. I was leading a training session for the deacons at First Baptist Church of Adel, where I was doing an interim. And I started off with that question, and I recalled for them my first remembrance of deacons in a Baptist church. And it's kind of funny. I was a little guy. I told you I was raised in a Baptist church. I was a Baptist before I got saved. And Mama and Daddy drug us to church every week. And of course, I was raised in all the programs of the Baptist church. And in our church here in the Northeast Atlanta section of this area, the deacons would walk in with the pastor every Sunday morning. I guess they lined up back in the back. And those guys would walk in and sit on the front row. And I remember they looked mad. They did not look happy. They were very serious and somber looking. They all wore dark suits. I didn't know if they were part of the mob or a group of detectives investigating the preacher of the church or something. I didn't know. But they just didn't look like they even really enjoyed being in church. And maybe they did and just didn't show it. But I also came to realize real quick that in our church, the deacons ran the church. And buddy, if the deacons didn't approve of you, you didn't do nothing. Everything. Did I say everything? Everything went through the deacons. Well, after being involved in ministry and after studying God's word intently over these many, many years, I've come to realize a whole different perspective about deacon ministry. And this morning, from God's word, I want to show you what is to be the primary function of the deacon. And I do so, I hope, to elevate the role. Because the role and the place of deacons in the New Testament church is a very important role. To my knowledge, there are only two ordained offices in the church, or to be in the church. That is, number one, pastors. Which, by the way, when you read your Bible, I believe that it talks about pastors, elders, overseers, bishops. Those are all different terms for the same role. They're used synonymously. So you have the office of the pastor, the elder. But the second ordained ministry or office in the church is that of the deacon. And it is to be a very, very important ministry and role in the church. But all too often, it seems to me, we have allowed tradition and our culture to define what deacons do, and to some extent, who deacons are, instead of seeing what God's intent was for those who were to serve the local church as a deacon. Many years ago, I don't remember who I heard say this, I don't remember the exact setting, but it's kind of stuck with me. And again, I realize this to be a very true statement. Someone once said, speaking of deacons, deacons will either be a great blessing that will benefit a local congregation, or they will be a great hindrance that will hold back a local congregation. A blessing or a hindrance. And folks, I've seen both. Over the years, I believe, certainly from what little bit I've come to know these four gentlemen we're about to ordain, and hearing their testimony now the third time, their wish is to be a blessing. And I'm sure there are many, many other men who serve this church as deacons that's their heart's desire too. Well, most importantly, you need to know that's God's desire, and that's God's heart for the role in the ministry of the deacon. So again, I would just share with you from observation of many churches that I've served and have observed over the years, when deacons saw themselves primarily as a board of directors that rule the pastor, the people in the church, they more than not became a hindrance, primarily because they were trying to function in a role that God never intended for them to function in. But when deacons functioned in the role that God had prepared for them, God used them to be a blessing to the pastors, to the church, and to the membership of that church. It's interesting to note that the word deacon is only used five times in the scriptures that I can find. Now, don't turn there, because I asked you to turn to Acts 6. We're coming to it in just a second. One of the times it's used is found in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 1. As Paul's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he wrote and he said, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And then he said, including the overseers, it's another word for pastor, the overseers, and here on the translation above, we see bishop, and deacons. That's one time the word is used, just in a passing greeting to the deacons of the church in Philippi. The other four times that it appears in the scriptures are when Paul was giving young Timothy, a young pastor Timothy, instructions about how to lead a local congregation. He gave some detailed information about deacons. And in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 8, verse 10, verse 12, verse 13, you find the word deacon being used. There are two primary sections of verses in our Bible that deal with this work of the deacons. One of them is found in Acts 6, which we're about to read. And I want to point out something to you. You'll notice when we read these verses, the word deacon's never used. But what we do know is that this was the beginning of the work of the deacon at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. some of y'all will get that one a little bit later on if you chew on it a little while. When the early believers were gathering in Jerusalem, this is when the ministry of the deacon was birthed. It reads this way, Acts 6, verses 1, and I'll probably read down through 5 or 6. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose, and it lists there for us, the men, the first 7 deacons there in the church in Jerusalem. Over in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 to 10 and verses 12 to 13, the Apostle Paul gives a detailed list of the qualifications of a person who will serve as a deacon. Let me read those verses to you. "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, and let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, a good manager of their children and their households, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So again, the Bible puts and gives a very important role to the deacon, gives a very high elevation, a very high opinion of the ministry of the deacon. So what are deacons supposed to be doing? What is the primary function of deacons in a New Testament church? Well, the Bible's crystal clear on that. And that's what I want to deal with for this, the rest of my time that I have this morning. And I would summarize it by saying this, and then I want to come back and show you where I get this from. The primary function of a deacon is to be a servant. Bottom line, it's to be a servant. If a deacon does not get that basic principle down as he's being considered as a deacon, he will never get the biblical role of a deacon correct. A deacon is first and foremost a servant minister. Now let me show you that. It goes all the way back to Jesus. Think about Jesus. Jesus was set the example for all of us, and particularly those of us who are in leadership positions in a local church, to be a servant leader. You remember when Jesus is about to go, he's about to go to the cross. They've gone back into Jerusalem. And as they've come into the city before he is to go before Pilate and all these, and then later to the cross, you remember that he celebrated what we now know to be the Lord's Supper, but it was Passover he celebrated with his disciples. And do you remember as they gathered there in Jerusalem and his disciples came to the upper room, nobody was there to wash their feet. Now, traditionally, that was a very important thing, very important matter, as people would gather to eat in the Jewish culture of that day. But nobody was there to wash the feet as the disciples came in. And you'll remember the story that Jesus did it himself. The Bible says that he took a towel and a basin of water, and he went to those disciples, and he personally, the Lord, the Master, the Savior, Jesus washed their feet. And in John 13, verse 16, we read Jesus saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one sent greater than the one who sent him." And then Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "What you've seen me do, you do also." Hey guys, this is what you're to do. You're to be a servant just like I'm a servant. It's not all about being the boss. It's not all about being the main person. Your role as a leader is to be a servant. In fact, we were staffing this past week, and I was doing a thing on leadership with the staff, and I shared with them a definition of leadership that I heard many years ago. I didn't hear it. I read it, written by a man by the name of John Maxwell, and he gave the best definition of leadership that I've ever heard. And he simply said this: leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. And I think Jesus adds to that by simply saying this: you can't influence people if you're not willing to serve. Jesus has set the example for us. It's interesting, in Mark 10, verse 45, it tells us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Did you know that the root word for that word "serve" there in Mark 10, 45 comes from the same root that we get our word "deacon" from? In fact, in 1 Timothy 3:8, as Paul begins to describe all the responsibilities and characteristics of a man who is to be selected as a deacon, he starts the definition and description by using the word "deacon" itself. And in the Greek language, it's the word diakonos, and it's a word that refers to a servant or a minister. And the point being made is this: the primary role, the primary function of a deacon in a New Testament church is to be a servant leader. They must be a minister. Now, let me make sure I'm clear on something. That's not just true of deacons. It's also true of pastors. That's also true of the elder of the local church. It's interesting to note through these verses, as you read down these verses, that the primary function was that to be a servant, minister to the congregation. But I want you to notice what these deacons were selected to do. And then I'm going to come back, make one overarching observation to you, and then we're going to ordain these four men this morning. But let me share with you, I believe the deacons were selected for a fourfold ministry. This is their primary function. Your notes have part of this there. You can fill in the blank. Number one, deacons were selected to serve the pastor elder. Deacons were selected to serve the pastor elders. Did you know that? In Acts 6, these men were selected to help out the pastors and the elders so that the pastors and the elders could do what God had called them to do, and that was to meet the spiritual needs of the church. And by the way, gentlemen, let me say this to you again, just as lovingly as I can, but I want to point out something to you that you can't deny here in the scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever find that deacons were to have authority over a pastor elder. And when deacons in a church perceive that to be their responsibility, they have overstepped the authority God has given to them. It's not your job to rule the pastor. It's your job to serve with the pastor. Now, let me say that again. It's not your job to rule the pastor. It is your job to serve with the pastor. And guys, there is a world of difference between those two things. Deacons were selected to serve the pastor elders. Secondly, deacons were selected to help maintain church unity. Deacons were selected to help maintain church unity. The very reason the office of deacon was started was over this issue. There in Acts 6, we read it a moment ago, a problem had arose in the church because the widows, the Hellenistic Jewish widows, were being overlooked in the daily feeding. And they began to complain about it. Now, let me stand up for the widows here. I don't blame them. If I'd been overlooked in the daily feeding, I'd fuss too. But they started fussing in the church, and obviously enough fussing went on that it caused a problem, and the deacons were selected to help keep this from being an issue. So the pastors didn't have time because of their spiritual responsibilities to come and serve the widows. But knowing it was important that the widows were served, they selected deacons not only to serve the tables, but to deal with the complaint issue so that the church would, church unity would be maintained. And guys, I would say to you again this morning that one of your most important responsibilities as a deacon of First Baptist Church of Noonan is to make sure you are doing everything within your power to be able to keep unity within the church. And when problems do arise, and hey folks, they do because we're human. We do because churches deal with people. They do because we all can sometimes get out of joint and out of place. Boy, your responsibility is to help maintain church unity above all else. So deacons were selected to serve the pastor elders. They were selected to help maintain church unity. Thirdly, deacons were selected to be an example to the church. Do you know that, guys? You're to be an example. In fact, here in Acts 6 and also in 1 Timothy 3, it deals with character. And you are given the responsibility to set an example to this church of what it means to be a godly man, to be a faithful church member, to be a serious follower of Jesus. None of us are perfect. You're not perfect. No pastor is perfect. We all have times in our lives we trip up along the way. But our lifestyle should be such that people can say in the church, you know, there's, I forget what name I used this morning. Joe Doe. How about that? I think that's the name I used. If your name's Joe Doe this morning, I'm not talking about you. Please know that. But there goes Joe Doe. Boy, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. I want to be like that. And guys, it is your responsibility as a deacon to set a godly example of what it means to follow Jesus to those who are a member of this church. And by the way, let me say something to you. You are an example whether you want to be or not. You're either a good one or you're a poor one. If you're faithful in your attendance, if you're faithful in your serving, if you're faithful in your giving, if you're faithful in your witness, you're going to be a very good witness for the cause of Christ and for the good of your church. But if you're not, you become a very poor example to somebody else out there in the congregation that might be trying to find their own way, and you're not setting the example that you should be setting for them. You, again, can become a hindrance instead of a blessing. Boy, deacons were selected to be an example to that church. And then fourthly, deacons were selected to serve the pastor elder. They were selected to help maintain church unity. They were selected to be an example to the church. And they were selected to be a servant to the local fellowship. And again, you see that in Acts 6. You see it in 1 Timothy 3. In fact, it's interesting there in 1 Timothy 3, Paul makes a promise to the deacons that preachers aren't even made. In fact, he tells deacons, if you have served well, notice he didn't say if you ruled well. If you have served well, there is a high standing for you, and he's speaking about in the kingdom to come. Hey guys, preachers aren't promised that, but you are. If you have served well, remember the very name deacon means servant. I mean, think about it for a moment. The first deacons were elected to be waiters, to serve tables. So again, you are not the church bosses. You are not a board of directors. You are a servant to the spiritual and physical needs of this local body of Christ. That's the responsibility God's given you. And that's the privilege you have of being able to serve as a deacon for this congregation. One last observation, and then we're going to close up this morning and ordain these four guys. I do think it's interesting to note that the Bible, in the process of teaching us about the role of the deacon, it does not give us so much the details of what deacons do or what they're supposed to do. And the reason for it, the first one served tables. We know they're supposed to serve, but it doesn't give us a long list of what they're supposed to be doing in the church. And here's the reason. Every local church is going to be different. Every church is going to have unique needs. Every church has areas that the deacons need to be focused on and ministering to. And it can take on many, many forms. So the emphasis in the Bible for deacons is not so much on what they're to do. Now listen to me. It's on who they are to be. Now let me say that again. The emphasis in the scripture for deacons is not so much on what they are to be doing, it's on who they are. The example being set. It's being the godly man, the godly leader in the church, that people can look up to, that people can respect, that people can say, you know what, that's what it means to walk with Jesus. That's what it means to live for Jesus. I want to strive to be like that. Thank God. Thank God for the people, the many godly deacons that I've had the privilege of knowing and serving with over the years. That if I had to point somebody to what it meant to walk with Jesus, I'd say, hey, just go look at his life. That's what it looks like. That's the way it ought to be, guys, because the emphasis on scripture for you, as it is for pastors. I told somebody this morning, I got one finger going out of here, I got three of them coming right back at me. The emphasis is not on what so much what we do. It's on who we are and the walk that we have before Almighty God. So, church, if you want a pastor who will come in here, stay a while, serve faithfully, and be successful, then deacons, be biblical deacons whose primary purpose and function is to minister and to serve the pastor as well as this local congregation. Come alongside your pastor and staff to minister to the needs of the congregation and get past the board mentality where you gather to control everything that happens in the church. The pastor will be better served and the church will be better loved. Let your deacon's meeting be focused on ministry reports and ministry needs of the members of First Baptist Church of Noonan and those that are out there in your community. Stand with your pastor to serve. Stand with your pastor to protect him. Stand with your pastor to stop gossip and a critical spirit of those that might be dissatisfied in the congregation. And unless your pastor is involved in something that is morally wrong or theologically wrong, you stand with your pastor and help make him successful. And that's what you're called to do as a deacon in a New Testament church. Amen.